ladies and gentlemen, listeners, welcome to Rack Addicts After Hours, episode 76. It's my very great pleasure to announce that we are in the company of both halves of P-Gypt today. We're in a park somewhere. The sun is shining, or it was. Sunset is upon us. We've had snacks. There are beers. We tried to get into our ancestral home of El Pub next to the shop, but alay and alas and alam, they were fully booked. Telmo is here. Peter's here. My name's Ben. Rack Addicts After Hours. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Who's been up to anything interesting this week? I certainly haven't. Telmo, you haven't been around for a good while. That's a shame.
Yeah, we're back, baby.
Oh yeah. What have you been up to, you busy university man?
Well, I've been precisely doing that.
Doing the education. Life.
Yeah, education. So, so unfortunately I have to cancel some of my affairs with the Rack Addicts for a while. Unfortunately,
how dare you?
Yes, I know.
Our listeners have missed you.
Yes.
Your sultry tones
if
and your
they
talks about jazz.
If they missed some extreme jazz reharmonizational concepts, then yes. If not, then I'm here with them anyway. Yeah, so I've just been finishing my second year at Brunel University.
Ooh, he's up there in the good places.
Oh yeah, it's been pretty crazy. I mean, there was a lot of theory and weird performances going on.
But weird music is good music.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, some of the highlights of this year, especially the last bit of the year, was my actual performance.
Oh, so you had a module that required performance for assessment, did
yes,
you?
Yes, yes.
Lovely.
Yeah, so this one in particular was done...
Do tell.
Was done over an improvisational setting, so I was being...
My worst fear, continue.
I was being assessed for my improvisational and band leading skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in my group, in my ensemble, I was leading a piano player,
mm-hmm.
a synth player
Ooh.
That was going through a computer, but it wasn't just any controller. He was actually using some sort of like a jamstick controller.
Was it the Artiphon Instrument 1?
No, it was an actual jamstick.
That's the product called a jamstick.
I think it's called the jamstick.
Let me Google.
Yeah, please do. Because it's in some sort of like guitar format. And you can plug it into a guitar and just act as a MIDI controller and you can get any sorts of sounds.
Oh yes, it looks somewhat like a Steinberger guitar.
It
headless.
It does, doesn't it?
Seven frets. That's kind of odd. Anyway.
Well, I didn't really pay attention to that. But he was covering the low register of the whole ensemble. And then I had the pleasure of having my other half, which is also in the course with me. She was playing her Yamaha Reface CS, which is...
What a little synth. We love it.
One of the great synths out there, as you guys might know. She was going through... She was actually receiving signals from a plant.
Oh, I did see some happenings on the Instagram, but I didn't catch up with you about it, actually.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting concept, and I really wanted to grab a hold of this for the performance which I was being assessed. So she was using biodata sonification to get the signals, the pumps of a breathing being into a synth, which was sending MIDI signal, and then she was turning that into a musical instrument, which was amazing to see.
Wonderful.
Even in chromatic mode.
Yeah, what was the product you were using? Because I know there's the Instruo Scion in the modular world, there's the MIDI Sprout, which is a DIY kit.
Yep.
What were you using?
So this was some sort of a box that was ordered from Germany. Leetronics.
Okay.
That's the name of it. So if you guys, it's basically, she actually had to get in touch with him by phone and ask him to get it done.
That is the great thing about the modular or strange synthesizer world. It's probably one person on the other end of the strange, weird instrument that you want to buy.
Yeah, man.
And it makes it great. Well, that's how we got in touch with Finn from the previous episode. If you haven't listened to episode 75, what an interview. It's amazing. You've got to take a listen to it. We talked about stochastic instruments, stochastic inspiration generators, and other strange things. But yes, Telmo, I've interrupted you. We've also interrupted somebody that may or may not have wanted access to the building Pete and I are currently leaning against. It's almost as awkward as the egging from that one podcast that one time.
Oh, I remember that. I was in that.
Were you in that?
Yeah, of course, man.
Oh, yeah.
That was like 2 months ago.
No, it's got to be like a
it's
year.
It's got to be more than that.
Anyway, your assessment, did you get good marks? That's what's important.
I don't know yet.
Oh, that was a recent
one. Just about
to
get my marks. Yeah, but the performance in itself, was it a success? Even using this sort of like chromatic scale mode plant thing, it was amazing.
You could get some pretty weird results if it's just Chromatic, right?
Yeah, and I was surprised. I was honestly surprised to hear some of the notes that the plant was corresponding.
Well, actually, here's the question. What plant were you using?
It was this weird rubber plant that we had around.
Rubber plant, okay. And what about, let's say, you're interested in composing some, you know, light kind of slightly meditative trance music. What species of plant would you recommend?
Aloe vera.
Wow,
I'm
there we go.
Now.
Immediate. He absolutely knew what plant you need. Now, here we go into the snake oil area of MIDI, a plant to MIDI conversion.
Yeah.
Aloe vera for your EDM needs.
Do it.
Wonderful stuff. Anything else that you've been up to? I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been all sorts of stuff. I mean, I did release stuff over with P-Gypt as well over the time. We had, I think at the time I've mentioned, we released a single early January. We then released another one in March called Sweet Grumpy and Careless.
That's been since... Oh, man, it has been a long time since you were here.
Yeah.
That's a jam.
Wow.
It's a big jam.
Yeah, we had the Lucky For You doing the editing the video.
The Turnaround As Fast As You Possibly Can music video shot by your good friend Phil.
Yeah, man.
Very well shot by your good friend Phil. Lots of great stuff.
Very well edited by your own Ben.
Oh, no. I just slapped it together.
So yeah, that was definitely a success.
That's a banger. You can find it on Spotify. Mm-hmm. You can find it on YouTube, in fact, as well. P-Gypt, Sweet, Grumpy, and Careless.
Oh, what a tune.
Summery vibes. Chill. Bit of funk. Mm. Some excellent musicians involved. It's all round a win for your ears. Go and find it on the internet.
You couldn't have said it better.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
Hooray! Well, it's excellent to have you back. Oh. But let's see what Pete's been up to, because... You were kind of sucked into Modular Grid. You couldn't escape. You were staring at the screen.
Mm, yes,
ooh,
yes.
It was brewing. What are the developments?
No, I'm deep in a bad bad session of gas.
Do we need an intervention?
Well, I'd rather you didn't.
Should we call the gas police?
Well, if we talk to our friend Jack, who's been on the internet in various fashions, he has said what cured him of gas was going to NAMM. Maybe Rack Addicts should go to Superbooth and you may never have gas again.
Mm, yeah. I don't think that'll work for me. It'd make it worse.
Oh, no. I do want to go to... Can we go to Superbooth, please?
Is it even on?
When it next happens, can we go?
Well, yeah, when it's properly happened, excellent. I think we should definitely go.
We were sort of planning it, weren't we?
Yes, but then... we were. We were hoping it would be sponsored by our employer.
Mm.
Yeah. And then bang!
What
no
do you know?
Travels.
It didn't work.
Yes. But, you know, the gas has got me bad at the moment.
You were saying today.
Yes.
And we're not talking about flatulency, are we?
No.
We're talking about
no flatulence here, not at all.
That's it. That's how you say it.
Yeah, so I've ordered the Chaos Device Batumi.
So just Batumi, you didn't...
Just at the moment. So the Batumi and the black faceplate, which unfortunately you don't have the option to order it with a black faceplate.
Bit annoying, but...
So you have to pay the extra, but at least I've got both options, I can move it. But I'm then going to order the Belgrade filter.
Mm, we spoke the other day, I did love my Belgrade.
And the phaser, which...
Kamenieck, something like that. It starts with a K, ends in a C.
And I'm also considering that envelope generator that they're
doing. Zadar.
As I say, I'm looking for an envelope generator where I can actually use an external clock device to clock the cycle of the envelopes.
Okay. Is there a specific musical example where you thought, ooh, if I could pipe some clock in here, is that related to the stochastic inspiration?
Yes,
generator?
It is. I want to see that I can reproduce, if I get a particular pattern or sequence that I really like, I want to ensure that I know exactly how fast the envelope is cycling.
Gotcha.
Because I found that you get this really good setup, you can save into the stochastic instrument or a stochastic inspiration generator. But if the timings change on the synth voice that you're using, then you don't get the same result that you initially got,
right,
which was giving you all the joy.
Once again, dear listeners, go back an episode. You've got to check out that interview we had with Finn from Stochastic Instruments. Really great stuff.
It sounds wicked, man, honestly.
Yeah.
Guys... It's great.
He was what a guy.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait to have him back. He was
he's promised to come back when they've got new products to.
Yep, it's going to be good. I can only imagine they're going to be fantastic. He did sort of tease that he might want to reissue Strange, a project that they did with Omsonic a while ago, which is described as sample and hold, but a whole lot more.
I'm not that au fait with the Onsonic range, to be honest, apart from the...
I did have a quick Google because I was doing my internet stalking of the chap And of course, I needed to know what we'd done before. And yeah, that was the tagline, sample and hold, but also some other bits and pieces. Let me grab quickly, just for your interest, listeners, let me tell you what the whole thing's about. So the description being, Strange is a bit like a complex sample and hold, but it generates semi-random control voltages in a unique way. Their characteristics can be shaped under user control, and their nature is specifically geared towards the creation of melodic contours not possible with standard random source or sample and hold noise modules. But that's the kind of vibe you're getting. So he wants to tweak that, maybe make it a bit more musical. That might be the next.
Sounds cool. Call. Well, he can tell us about it when he comes back.
He can, and maybe you'll have one. Who knows?
Well, and I've stated that we'll actually go and do the podcast in person with him rather than the remote.
Yes.
Thing. It's, I much prefer the live situation.
Yes. So episode 74 was recorded in the Rack Addict studio, as I believe I mentioned. So if you haven't heard that one yet, go back, have a listen, and maybe give us a feedback on your thoughts. What do you think of the sound quality? We are on Facebook, didn't you know, at Rack Addicts UK, as well as Instagram. Go and speak to us, because we like to know there's actually people behind the numbers on the audience.
We like to speak to people.
Please talk
we
to
do.
Us.
I spend all day talking to people.
We want to know who you are, where you are, what you thought, what you'd like to hear.
What are you up to? Tell us everything about what you do.
Well, that's the purpose of the weekly update. The only thing on the Ben side, I did buy Plinky from Thonk, which I teased a while ago. I have yet to formulate my full thoughts, listeners.
There was a video on the Plinky from Lupop.
Yes, Lupop. our good friend Lupop. I haven't watched it because I've got one. Why do it? But so far, the thoughts are it sounds amazing.
Yep.
So digital.
Have you built it?
Yes. I mean, all it was just, you know, adding the jacks and the screen and the pots. It wasn't very exciting.
Okay.
From a building point of view, fantastically disappointing, I'm sorry to say, because there just wasn't that much to do, sadly. But from a sound perspective, the basic preset is just great. A four oscillator super saw per voice. There are eight voices, reverb, delay. The reverb has a shimmer. I mean, what more do you want? It was great. The only difficulty that I've had is the oscillators are wavetable. And I thought, oh, you know what's nice with the wavetable? Let's have some LFO modulation, some of that vowel-y stuff happening. It's been tricky to try and assign one of the LFOs that you have per voice to that shape function. There might be me being stupid, but I've yet to crack it. So I'll give you my full thoughts at some point. But at the moment, it's kind of cool.
I've watched the video and I was very impressed. It was more than I thought it was.
The sound is amazing. And of course, there's sampling and sort of granular playback and stuff. I've not even touched it yet, but I will do eventually. But first, I want to learn it as a synth. And of course, it can be Eurorack mounted and powered. So when I venture in that direction, it can be there. And also, of course, touch plate, it's sort of a controller if you want it to be as well. £200, though, it's a bit of a steal.
It's a lot of synth for that money.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
The functionality.
I've seen the video that you've shown me, man. It's absolutely crazy. It sounds amazing.
How many voices?
Eight.
Yes,
eight voices.
That's
they're polyphonic eight voices.
So that and the Lyra 8, I think they'll have to venture into Telmo's hands.
Oh, wow.
We'll see what you make of them, because it's not like I'm using them
that much. I would be honoured.
Yeah, you've got to get in there. The great thing about the Lyra is, as long as you've got a pair of ears, which the vast majority of humanity has, I believe, even if you know what a synth does, you have no advantage over anybody else in getting music from it, because it's so obscure to try and use, and it's such a battle to tune it. Even if you're a great musician, I don't know that you'll get better results. And half the joy is battling with the thing. So I want to see what you guys get. I think it'll be cool.
I'd certainly like to have a go on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll bring it around sometime. It's good fun. I don't think it's P-Gypt friendly, but I think you as a musician, I think you'll both enjoy it. I'm looking at both.
I think it's a challenge I'm willing to take.
Yeah, try and make that into a P-Gypt song. There's some really cool rhythmic stuff that can happen.
Yep.
So just plug it in, hit record, and then mess around.
Yeah, man.
So you might be able to sample it and make it into something. But there we go, the weekly update section is done, and now we're moving on to the news. There isn't any. as far as I'm aware. I was working very hard at work today.
It's a very quiet time of the year as well, isn't it?
Well, it's a very quiet year of the year. I mean, nothing's really happened, to be honest. I found Strombox, if you want to Google that, Strombox, a modular flat pack Eurorack case, which wasn't very affordable, nor practical or exciting. Yeah.
I think a lot of people possibly are holding back their products and maybe they're taking stock. And also
holding back till when?
Yeah. Well, when this period of weirdness passes.
Yes, you're not allowed to say the forbidden words. It's a shame. I mean, there's lots of cool companies probably working on some good stuff. So maybe there'll be a horrifying outside of NAMM or Superbooth, suddenly everybody will be introducing products left, right and centre outside of an event, and we'll have YouTube subscription feed apocalypse even when it isn't event season.
The component shortage is also feeding into that. So people may have
that is a good point.
Really interesting prototypes and designs and they can't move forward because they cannot get the components.
And it's gone beyond, I mean, it started in the more typical thing that you kind of expect, CPUs, GPUs, you know, small nanometer fancy stuff. But now it's creeping into the, I suppose, more basic chips as well, isn't it?
I'm seeing it in so many areas now. I'm struggling to get IT equipment that I need for my customers.
Mm.
We're struggling to get various products, musical equipment into the shop.
Roland has never stopped struggling with this. I mean, it's hit them hard from the word go, hasn't it?
Well, every time I look about sort of inquire or research for customer inquiries asking when something's going to come in, and I look at the Roland, invariably it says 3 months or longer.
Yeah, that's the generic term for...
We don't know. Yeah, we have no idea when
at some point, maybe.
It might have something to do with that burning container, massive ship container in Indonesia, wasn't it?
Wait,
a couple of weeks ago.
Well, there was one stuck in the canal. Now there's one on fire.
Yeah,
I didn't hear about
something
this.
Like that a couple of weeks ago.
The one, I don't know if the situation's changed, but the one that was stuck in the Suez Canal, even though it was freed up, I read somewhere that the Egyptian government had seized it because they wanted a compensation payment.
For?
From the Japanese owners of the cargo ship.
Right.
Because well, that's some politics that's not going to blow over soon.
It blocked the Suez Canal for about a week.
And longer, wasn't it?
Possibly. And quite a few ships actually turned around and decided to go around the southern tip of Africa rather than... Not only did that extend the journeys, it also meant that the revenue that the Egyptian... I don't know if it's the Egyptian government that runs it or it's run by a private company. But anyway, the revenues that they get from the Suez Canal weren't forthcoming either. So this is hence why they're seeking this compensation, or were seeking it. So I'm not sure if that ship, which was quite a large cargo ship, and so all the goods that are on it...
Probably still on it.
Still impounded.
Probably, yeah.
I hope there wasn't anything living on there, which there can be sometimes.
Well, really, in containers. I mean,
mostly rats.
Really?
I've heard that before, yeah.
How that's inhumane.
I know.
Rats and mice everywhere, really. Have you ever been inside a container?
I don't want to.
Yeah, no, it's not great. I've been inside a few and you can see...
Well, it depends where they... I mean, yeah. It depends where they come from.
Dirty stuff.
Yeah, well, they generally, the decent ones, they're all sealed.
Yeah.
Yeah, the decent ones.
Yeah, depends on the shippers, I suppose, the quality of the container.
But in other news, I mean, that kind of gives us a hint of what we should be looking forward to is more local produce, organic components, everybody.
Organically grown. What's that one chip that Behringer make now, the oscillator chip?
And they actually make it. Is it a Curtis chip?
Yeah, the Curtis chip. Behringer, well, they own the manufacturing
plant. Is that the evolution of the Xenix?
No. No, it's not.
Well, there's several Curtis chips. I mean, it's obviously the 3340, but
that's the one they manufacture that now.
That's the oscillator chip.
Yep, the one that's in plentiful supply in the Analog Solutions Colossus, which somewhat disappointed us when we learned about that.
Yeah, but I suppose it's a good solution. There is, as I say, I have actually scoped one. In fact, I replaced the Curtis chip in my SH101, thinking that might have been the problem. It wasn't, but I spent quite a lot of joyous time actually scoping all the various frequencies coming out of the various legs.
I've got a couple of things from the guitar department.
Oh, yes, we haven't had an update from the guitar world for ages. Anyway, the guitar industry, what have they been up to?
Well, I know I just found out the last couple of weeks, actually, there's a couple of exciting products, and one of them involves Behringer.
Oh, dangerous. Dangerous, that B word.
Oh, boy. No, I just found out they're Bugera. Amplifiers.
Yes, that falls under the Music Tribe umbrella these days.
Yeah, it are now being supplied under the wing of Behringer. So basically, a name that's got decent...
There's heritage in there? It's going a while.
Yeah, it's got good heritage. It's got a decent sort of like amount of followers, and it's known for its high gain sort of like sounds.
That's all I knew about it. What's the general guitar world opinion on Bugera pre-Music Tribe? Generally, you know, that's a good brand. What's the...
Pre-General has been a more of like a respectful company.
Yeah.
Sort of like with a good sound, yep. With a few signature
artists. For a
certain
customer.
Yeah, exactly. Right. With a pristine, clean sound and a decent high gain.
Right.
And to be honest, they are actually keeping up to their promise. And
it still sounds...
Apparently,
so it feels right.
Yeah.
Nothing feels, too weird.
Feels right, and it sounds good. They're just bloody heavy, but that's how guitar heads are anyway. But if you're looking for something that's, if you listen to your periphery or if you're into high-gain music...
Oh, but I be.
Yeah. give it a go. Go on YouTube and look for Bugera amps. I mean, they might be worth a try, and they're really affordable as well.
We hope they go well. Because we do have some concern about Aston Microphones, who are also under the Music Tribe umbrella now. And we've got a shake of the head from Inesh here, but the Stealth is terrible.
Yeah, it is.
We knew that. The Stealth is an awful microphone. Sorry, Aston.
Yeah.
But the Origin, the Spirit, they're good. The Starlight, they're fine.
I reckon the Spirit is the maybe the
probably
top
the
of
best
their line.
One. Yeah, definitely. And the Element, the latest one, vaguely crowd-designed-ish. looks fine. But we'll see where they go. I'm worried, to be honest, because I thought they were a cool company. But
As consumers, we're looking on the sort of like the sort of like on the side of things that might turn out to be actually really bad.
What we assume, I think, is having dealt with Music Tribe before. I feel like the customer support, assuming that's all then handed over to Music Tribe, is just going to vanish.
Yeah.
I imagine there's absolutely nothing left. I'll send them an email. A month later, you might get a, hello, where did you purchase this item from? And that's it, and you've already sold it because it's broken or whatever.
Mm. We'll My second piece of news.
Yes.
It's related to Jackson amplifiers and pedals.
Wait, Jackson amplifiers and pedals?
Yes. Well, it's not related to Jackson guitars, which is a whole different thing.
So Jackson, that's where I went. Are they suddenly making amps now?
Yeah, Jackson Works is a boutique American company.
But not related to the guitars?
Not related to the guitars at all.
There we go. They're in the same space, and there's going to be a lot of confusion there.
Yeah, there will be. But they're mostly known for their high-end boutique expensive amplifiers, which are relatively light and really high-end quality, really hand-built.
There's always the, is it the blackface, is it the brown, is it a tweed? What genre do they fit in? Do they do a lot of stuff?
They do a lot of stuff. It's medium to high-gain stuff. Mm-hmm. But
Hot-rodded Marshall vibe?
Yes, and also like they do a Dumble clone as which is like more of like that smooth... overdrive high gain mid 80s sort of thing. But anyway, Jackson Works, they're focusing in a lot of pedals as well, and I've noticed that they've just released a modular fuzz pedal.
Where does the modular world come into it? I'm intrigued.
I'm glad you asked.
Ask I did.
It's because you are able to purchase the plugins for your pedal. So you can purchase a particular voicing for your fuzz for the sound of the pedal. So you can just imagine that you've got this particular fuzz that you're really looking for, and you're looking for that Jimi Hendrix sort of fuzz, which is a completely different voicing than the sort of Jeff Beck sort of like tone bender fuzz, right? So what you do is that you buy for, I don't know, I'm not quite sure about their retail price, to be honest, but you can buy the plugin, which is just a chip, which you can open the pedal and replace the existing chip by the modular one.
That's interesting. I know guitars to a certain extent, but I know I've been very fussy with distortion, especially fuzz, so that's a cool idea.
Yeah. It is really cool, and I think it's something that people will be looking forward to, especially because instead of having five or six fuzzes, you can now buy the chips that will give you the versatility that you're looking for.
Yeah, most likely cheaper than a whole new pedal, even
exactly.
If you don't know what
just
price
under £100.
That's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Good stuff happening.
Indeed. News. That's all for news. I'm staring at Telmo's arm right now because there's a temporary Millennium Falcon on it. You know what the Millennium Falcon means? It means Star Wars. You know where Star Wars is set? On the TV screen. No, in space. And our good friend Luke can take us through Luke's spacey bit. I'll never get tired of that jingle. Take it away, Luke. What have you got for us?
Hello, space fans, and welcome to our segment. Space is very busy this week, so we have a brief news roundup for you this time. So sit back, look up, and relax as we take you through this week's occurrences. Controversy around the selection of SpaceX's Starship as the new lunar lander for NASA's Artemis project continues to swell, with official complaints from the unsuccessful candidates and less official comments coming in from the online sphere, mostly via Twitter. I'm sure you've seen some of those. The basic issue boils down to a modified version of SpaceX's Starship being chosen as the human landing system for parts of the Artemis mission to return humans to the surface of the moon. They will now receive $2.9 billion to develop the craft, which raises a number of questions as to whether or not Starship should be used over a more traditional craft launched on the already very expensive and much delayed SLS project. However, it's worth pointing out that in this case, Starship is a potentially much more versatile vehicle with the capability to go to Mars and beyond compared to the more traditional lander competitors, and it's actually the cheapest option presented by the bidding companies. The awarding of the funds is currently on hold while other complaints and challenges are dealt with, such as bureaucracy. I don't think this bothers SpaceX very much, however, who are happily tinkering away in Boca Chica on not just Starship, but also the prototype Super Heavy launch vehicle booster that will send it into orbit. Their Falcon 9 series rockets also continue to launch Starlink satellites into LEO, as well as supplying the ISS with fresh sundries and astronauts. There's a new crew mission coming up over the horizon next week as well. Moving away from bean counting and back to our favourite destination, Perseverance's companion drone Ingenuity suffered from some software glitches that caused it to wobble dangerously in flight during its sixth mission. One frame of data from its object tracking system was missing from the chain, causing the timestamps on subsequent data to come through slightly early. This mismatch between analysis and real-world physics caused a slight wobble in the craft, but after landing and effectively turning itself off and on again, it is now working properly. The event was not without its serendipitous upsides, however. The craft's nose cam, which usually points too far down to be of any artistic use to a human, was pitched up during the anomalous flight to reveal a beautiful view of the solemn Martian horizon and the mountainous lip of Jezero Crater. The images and videos of Ingenuity's journey and a map of the path travelled by it and Perseverance can be found on the JPL website. NASA JPL's Mars helicopter team have declared the testbed device a success, and are now moving on to longer and more independent missions. Here's hoping Ingenuity goes the way of previous explorers like the long-lived Opportunity rover, bringing us new data and exciting news for quite a long time to come. In addition to this, the older Curiosity rover has caught literally and metaphorically otherworldly images of strange clouds in the Martian atmosphere. Too thin to be seen in such detail from orbit, the clouds are most likely carbon dioxide and gather in the atmosphere like luminescent dry ice plumes. More study is required to confirm their exact nature, but again, the images are definitely worth your time and are available on NASA's website, as is most of their impressive image library. Next, I wanted to draw your attention to some very tangible astronomy news. On the 10th of June, there will be a partial solar eclipse for most of the Northern Hemisphere. The best view, the one in which the sun will be transformed into a halo of light ringing the moon, will be seen only in Greenland and northern Canada. For our UK listeners, the event will begin at approximately 10:07 a.m. GMT on the morning of the 10th, and about a minute later if you're up north. The moon will occlude the sun for a grand total of about 1 hour, peaking quickly at 11:16 a.m. and tapering slowly off thereafter. For most of the event, it will appear as though a chunk is missing from the sun, and then it will quickly recede and become whole again throughout the course of the event. If you're based elsewhere, there's a handy website that allows you to find when the eclipse begins from your perspective. Head to timeanddate.com, that's three words, timeanddate.com/eclipse, and click on the search bar to add your location. There's even a handy widget that allows you to pick your location on a map. Now, if you're going to watch the eclipse, do remember, don't stare directly at the sun, especially if it's a bright day without any clouds. Use sunglasses and take regular breaks. You'll never see another exciting thing in your life if you don't look after your retinas. Continuing the solar theme, I want you to recommend again Hugo Prize-winning author Arkady Martin, whose second book set in the Tezcalan stellar empire I have been listening to. If you're short on time or just prefer audio like me, A Desolation Called Peace is available as an audiobook, with Amy Landon, the narrator from the first work, reprising her role with Panache. I've mentioned the first work before, but Desolation builds on some of the scarier, darker sides to the universe that we were introduced to in the first novel, and it explores the politics and intrigue at our heroine's home station that drove much of that plot. I've yet to complete the work, but so far I'm enjoying it immensely, not just thanks to the borderline unpronounceable Banksian space names, but also due to the persistent use of imagery, symbolism, and poetry. One of my favourite aspects of the novels is Martin's tendency to bookend chapters with excerpts from in-universe lore, history books, proverbs, that sort of thing. It's a really good way to build a world, to add depth to something, and to kind of transform fiction into literature, in my opinion. In an interview with NPR, Martin has said that she plans to write more in this series, which is excellent news because we've only scratched the surface of this intricate world with these two novels. But for now, the pair form a complete story, a duology, if you will, and are well worth your time if you like space, politics, romance, or intrigue. That's it from me today, but join us again next week for more space news. For now, I'll return you to my colleagues and co-hosts. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
And thank you so much, Luke. Always expanding our minds with tales from the beyond. I think I've used that transition before.
It's never enough.
I'm not the most imaginative man when it comes to segues. You know what else is a good segue? This flawless transition into the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation slot. Whoa! I didn't prepare mine. Pete, are you ready and raring?
Is that one that you're familiar with?
I know the man. I don't know that we've recommended before, so I think that's safe, Pete.
Right.
So you can plough away on that one.
That's what I'll do.
Ooh, you go for it.
Fair enough. Shall I go for it now?
Oh, yes. Oh,
please
yes.
Do.
I've got no idea.
Okay.
I'm frantically scrabbling.
Right. This week's recommendation for my extensive YouTube list.
The biggest YouTube list I've ever seen.
Yeah, it just goes on and on and on. It's actually quite a new one. The channel is called Lightbath.
Mm.
And it's a particular gentleman that does a lot of modular videos. A particular one that caught my eye, and hence why I'm buying all this chaos device equipment, was he did a really nice one which had just rings, the Batumi, Belgrade filter, and the phaser all in...
The phaser that we can't pronounce.
Yes.
That one.
Had it all in one small little sort of half size, 42 HP.
Something like that.
Yeah, so a tiny little rack, and it was just kind of self-generating.
Yeah, I've come across that video before, and it's wonderful.
I've read the small print. He has got a sequencer lurking in the background, which is a shame. I thought it was all happening just within the realms of the four modules.
Within those, there's nothing that's going to do a nice scale quantization, unfortunately, so it does have to happen.
That's a shame, because I'm so, but still, it was a rather lovely little patch, and inspired my gas, or inflamed my gas, or however you want to describe it.
Absolutely.
Yes, so there's not a lot more I can say. There's quite a few videos, lots of patching ideas that he puts together, or just...
Yeah, there's a good series on the channel, which they're entitled Loom, which is an all-mutable case. And patches based on that, which is really fun.
Yeah, that's it. So the YouTube channel is called Lightbath.
Wonderful stuff. Lightbath, we do like that. Mostly ambient and exclusively amazing. I shall recommend a YouTube channel, which I've been using for educational purposes only, of course. At work, when I've been at the end of the day, I'm thinking, oh, I should get some... I want to learn some new things, you know. I've been jumping into Blender. Blender is a program for 3D modelling, visual effects... many other things in between and around that kind of world, but it's a vast open source program. There's a lot to learn. At the moment, I'm confident with my level of knowing enough to follow tutorials quite well. That's the level I've got to after, you know, a good 10 hours using the thing. But the channel that's helped me through a lot of this is Blender Guru. This is a wonderful Australian gentleman whose name I've totally forgotten. He has the classic donut tutorial series, which you no doubt will have seen if you're even close to this world. But he's great. He goes reasonably slowly, but he's telling you why he's doing things, which is what we want from a tutorial. There are people, and there is one video where it goes, oh yeah, I'm going to make a donut in 59 seconds, and that's cool. But also, you want to learn things when you're watching a tutorial, and Blender Guru does the stuffs. So if you want to jump into the world of 3D visual effects, 3D modeling, rendering, and the like, Blender is free and an incredible program, and Blender Guru is the channel you desire. Telmo.
So if you guys are into, again, some modern jazz, I will recommend Kurt Rosenwinkel's Hardcore album, released in 2003. And this is honestly something that I've been absolutely addicted to, not only because it represents exactly a milestone in the genre, where it really shows the potential of modern jazz into the electronic world as well, which is something that maybe your listeners will be very interested on. Not only Kurt Rosenwinkel is an exquisite guitar player, he's also an aficionado of synthesizers. And he's got a few Prophets lying around, a few Junos.
Who doesn't want a few Prophets lying around?
I know.
Excellent.
So yeah, definitely Hardcore by Verve Records. It was incredible landmark in his life and is totally worth listening to. It's quite meditative, but it's also really crazy. It's got all sorts of emotions that you should totally listen to.
Synthesizers are involved. I'm there.
Yeah, man.
Sounds good.
And if you haven't been to Italy, please do it, because it's one of the most beautiful countries in Europe.
I thought you were going to say, if you haven't been to Italy, tough, you can't. But when you can, get ye hence. Can,
yeah.
I was hoping to go to Rome this year.
Yeah.
Next year, maybe.
Flights are cheap. Just get a quarantine if you're up for it.
I can't.
Do it.
I can't.
We'll get there.
We were planning. I naively anticipated that it would be possible to travel maybe later in the year, towards the end of the summer, but I'm very cynical that's even going to be possible now.
We'll get there one day, but most importantly, once Superbooth or other things may exist, I'm pretty sure your Rack Addicts hosts want to get there and serve you the hot and fresh synthy goodness from such a trade show. So thank you, audience, for listening to Rack Addicts After Hours episode 76. You stay safe, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Farewell!